It's now 10 o'clock. I'd like to call this month's meeting of the Tarrant County 911 Board of Managers to order. Morning, Mayor. Do we have any agenda announcements?
We. Roll call.
Okay, do roll call.
Mr. Roll.
Here.
Rick Brunson.
Here.
Aubrey Ansko. Robert Aldridge. Robert Brooks.
Here.
Sam Hall.
Here.
Scott Hopstrom.
Here.
Ray Richardson.
Here.
Elena Williamson.
Here.
We have a quorum.
And yes, to.
Do we have agenda?
We do have agenda announcements, sir. Due to the NINA conference in Long Beach, California, AT&T is unable to attend our meeting today. They have been rescheduled for the July Board of Managers meeting. And secondly, did you want to comment on that?
I do want to comment.
All right.
My request had nothing to do with them to need to be excused for NINA. My request was simply so that the board could understand why, in the course of our project network upgrades, we're making unreasonable, unrealistic demands of our carriers. And my request was that the people who were working with us on a daily basis would be here to discuss that. You know, if we need to do couples communication counseling, that's okay. But that's the issue. The issue is not that we are behind schedule. It's been that way forever. I'm done.
Thank you, sir. The second agenda announcement is I would ask that we move Board Resolution B, Board Resolution A and B down at the bottom, after the legislative update, so our Zoom attendees, Roger Mann, can return to the NINA conference.
Okay.
Okay.
That it?
That is it.
Okay. Then we have enforced the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Second. Motion approved by Chief Hall, seconded by Mayor Richardson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed.
Aubrey. Hi, Aubrey. Hey.
Motion passes unanimously. Legislative update.
Good morning. Well, I wish I was coming here with good news, but the last few weeks of the session turned out to be a bitter disappointment for us. Our bill, Senate Bill 2860, which if you remember, it would have not raised the wireless fee, but instead tie it retroactively to the consumer price index to get us up to around 72, 73 cents, did not pass. And it's just a real disappointment. We were getting good feedback all the way through towards the last few weeks of the session till we got to the deadline where bills had to get out of committee. And then when it came down to brass tacks, the members just would not support it. I've mentioned this before, but they view a fee increase as a tax increase, and they simply don't want to be on record as supporting a tax increase. It's very disappointing for a lot of reasons. One, with the success we've had the last two sessions getting funding for 911. But two, I felt like this was a creative solution, and we had a good team assembled with all the districts. Greater Harris County had hired one of the preeminent lobby firms in Texas with close ties to Lieutenant Governor and Republican members of the Senate, and we still couldn't get it done. You know, moving forward, what I would like to see, because we've been beating our head for the last three sessions trying to get a wireless fee increase, and with the current makeup of this legislature, I have a hard time seeing it passing. I thought this was a session it could pass if it were at all. I know we have elections coming up next year, but I don't see the makeup of the legislature changing that much. So what I'm going to suggest to the Alliance, and I've suggested this to the other lobbyists, is we need a member of the legislature to come to an alliance meeting and give a very candid and blunt assessment of the wireless fee increase, whether or not it has any chance of passing in the future sessions. And if so, if they think it does, great. If they don't, and I would suggest we do this regardless, so we need to come up with some more creative, sustainable funding solutions. You know, we're kind of in a double-edged sword here. The legislature is such a reactive body. They go from crisis to crisis to crisis. This district, along with a lot of other districts, are doing a lot of great work with very little funding. And the legislature is hesitant to move on that. But again, I wish I could tell you that it passed and we can move beyond this issue going forward.
Thank you, Bill. Any questions for Bill? Okay, then I have a comment.
Yes, sir.
Have no faith in the Alliance as the lead organization in this effort. Yeah, we've gotten some Band-Aids in the last two legislative sessions, but based on what we were looking for, they've been abject failures. I think as a board, we have to take a step back and be realistic about what our enabling legislation says, because it's based on 1985 competitive environments and 1985 products and services. So I want to have a further discussion about how we engage you in a strategy with you so that we develop a successful way to upgrade our legislation so that we can operate effectively going forward, that takes into account new technologies that may or may not be paying 911 fees right now, but are making contact with 911 offices. So all that to say, in summary, is don't let them be the lead dog.
Yes, sir.
We need you, and we need others that have the same philosophy as you, the Bears, the Travises, et cetera, et cetera.
Understood.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
And have a safe trip home.
Thank you. Thank y'all.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill.
Good. Okay, now we'll move to
B.
Board Resolution B. I have it. RN25029, Participation in a Joint Request for Proposal Collaboration for Translation Services with NCT911.
Good morning. So we have been invited to be on the evaluation panel for AI-assisted translation with NCT911, go through their RFP process with them, and then once we work through that RFP process, they will select a vendor that suits their needs, but they'll also have vendors that will be selected to be on a cooperative purchasing program so that their PSAPs can buy directly off of that. And so we're asking for that same flexibility to be able to buy off of text share on whatever that RFP presents. So we've got Roger Mann from NCT on the call if we have further questions, since they're leading this RFP process, but they are anticipating on selecting a vendor in August.
I would love it, Roger, if you would kind of give an overview of how this got started and our involvement.
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me, Sherry?
I can.
Okay. Thanks. Sorry, I'm not there in person. I'm at the International MENA Conference in California. The weather's a little bit better here, though, I'm not gonna lie. A little bit better. So the challenge for us has been putting in AI translation transcription services into our environments. And instead of us just going with the typical approach of letting our vendors decide, you know, what they would like to push into our call handling systems or other systems, there are so many different options out there today. And what we plan on doing is a multi-award with this RFP. So if I backtrack a little bit more, so we've got obviously a need for translation transcription. Translation in itself is proven to be very successful, especially in regions where it's Spanish speaking, and if you're using artificial intelligence, the translation speed is far quicker than the typical approach of transferring a call or patching in the language line of boarding services, which can take minutes. And then the call takers are tied up in the line while the translation occurs. So with actual translation built into the system, then it's within milliseconds the translation's done. Keyword detection is also prominent, and things like sentiment analysis are built in. And so that's the translation piece. There's also the on-the-fly transcription piece that occurs on the equipment or in an over-the-top solution. And as that call is in progress, the actual transcription is occurring, and it can be copied and sent across into computer dispatch systems and sent out into the field. I'm just saving a lot of time, and there are a lot of ECCs and PSAPs that are using it today, but it is something that's approached with a lot of caution. And the RFP we structured in a way that we specified things like the services can only be stored and housed in US-based secure web services like AWS or other environments like Amazon services or other cloud-based services. Nothing can be stored in foreign territory. And we've got various different things that are occurring. So it's not just translation transcription, we're also doing quality control services. And there's a good 6 or 7 companies today that offer it for 9-in-1. And then there's also a bunch of custom companies that can build different interfaces into the large translation models like AWS. And based on the scoring committee, we see us probably doing a multi-award where we're going to have about 3 to 4, let's say, potentially 5 vendors that are available on the tech share contract. And the tech share contract, like Sarah mentioned, is the contract procurement vehicle that NCT COG administers. And the advantage of a tech share compared to like GSA and Texas DR is that if you find federal funding, it can be used in tech share, and it can be used to fund tech share contracts. So that could be a challenge now, but there are definitely avenues where we're looking at federal funding, and if there are vendors on there, then it can be purchased. And making procurement a lot easier because it's gone through the vetting process, and it could also eliminate the need for certain RFPs. We have about 40 ECCs that today that may or may not want to choose their own translation service. So that's why we're going to offer it as a multi-award. And instead of just doing it directly with NCT, we thought it would be much more beneficial for the region to have it on TechShare so that Tarrant agencies or Denco in Dallas, anyone in fact, anyone in the US can purchase off of that cooperative.
And we're thank you, Robert. We're in a pretty tight timeline for finding a helpful solution between now and June when the FIFA event comes. So it's not a lot of time to write our own RFPs and start with those from scratch when we can participate and help. So the request is the flexibility to be able to buy off of TechShare today.
So we've been looking at this for a little bit. In fact, Roger and Sarah are both actively involved with the FIFA committees and working groups. Seeing what's really going to be needed, what's going to be most effective. This is one of the ones that we've been asked to look into for translation services, obviously because there's a lot of people that don't naturally speak American as they come here to Texas. Is that what it is? We'll go Queen's English on them. So there's a lot of other potential opportunities for logistics, for interoperability, for some enhanced capabilities of certain solutions we've been looking at for some time, but we're also looking at in addition to translations. So we're hitting this a couple of prong approach of what's going to be best for us and this region. Interoperability is a hot topic in these FIFA discussions that I think right now we're talking about FIFA. Down the road, it could be the next Super Bowl. It could be anything that happens in this region that would be very beneficial. Roger's got his ear to the rail on a lot of these activities going on. We've been keeping our staff between actually Philip and Sarah on the FIFA aspect of this. So we're seeing what else is out there that can also help us that we're going to be kind of keeping you abreast of in the next upcoming months up to the FIFA event to see what may actually pan out that we can use.
And it would be followed by a subsequent board approval for whatever we chose, so for that procurement. But this is just for the tech share opportunities.
Many of these are actually part of our strategic plan.
As it relates to working with NCT 911,
They're going out, yes, they're doing the RFP process. We're going to be on the evaluation committee.
I understand about all that. But it's my understanding, we've already got the agreements in place with Tarrant County government that allow us to buy off any contract that they have already negotiated, including tax share.
It's my understanding.
So the way I see this is because we're doing it with NCT 911, which is a great organization to partner with. And we don't have to talk about the other, because you're right, this is a, needs to be moved on now.
And that's one of the things we're doing. That's certain things, you know, Neil's not here today to speak to that, but we've been talking about the funding aspect, making sure we go through the right aspects that when we start getting off the rails a little bit, Kara can help get us back on rails. But we are looking at what we can do and what's within our ability to purchase off of.
So how does this work with, is this a replacement for Language Line? Is this?
So this won't be a replacement per se, but other organizations are seeing a natural trend where they will utilize this translation service more. So you see a natural evolution of Language Line and Voyant start to reduce in cost because you pay per minute. However, it just naturally evolves to, you know, if they need a language that's Language Line or Voyant do not, I'm sorry, that the AI model does not provide, you may still have to use that with. It's not 100% replacement, but you will see reduced costs to the district as more languages are available.
Is this something that's provided to the PSEPs, or is it just negotiating a deal so they can buy independently?
We're talking about procuring something, which will be another approval by you all later.
It would essentially resemble a similar third option of what we have in addition to Language Line and Voyance. Sarah Collins.
Would it look like at the end user, how it ties in? Is it more website they log into, or how it just?
There's a lot of different ways, yeah. And I'm not gonna.
Yeah, there's multiple
display
models.
Any.
Microsoft, Google,
we'll bring that on to you.
But so I will let you know after the RFP.
Basically, be some type of web-based thing. You wouldn't have to tie into your particular.
There's a lot of different ways it can be done.
And are we getting input on the ways that people want to potentially see it?
I would prefer that, yeah.
Okay.
End user experience. And
that's what I'm talking about.
It also needs to actually interface so cleanly with what we have in the way of call handling.
Correct.
Some are more effective and more complete than others with what we currently have. So that obviously plays a role as well.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Do I hear a motion for approval of RN 25029 participation?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Go ahead.
Aubrey said something. You can't come out there.
Sorry, I was just given a motion to approve, or I'll second, whichever is appropriate.
Ladies first, motion to approve made by Aubrey and seconded by Mary Richardson.
Sure.
That worked.
Got the call.
All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you, Roger.
All opposed? Motion passes unanimously. He gone?
No.
Thank you, Roger. You don't have. You can stay if you like, but enjoy the conference.
Would you like me to drop share with stay on for anything else with the feedback?
We're good.
Okay.
Thank
okay,
you,
great. Thanks
appreciate
so much. Have a great day, everyone. Take care.
Thank you.
Now the executive director report.
Yes, sir. You'll find our public education analytics on page 43, or starts on page 43. Your call volumes are on page 44 through 53, and Sarah's got a little information about call volumes.
So if it's business as usual, we don't usually stand up and speak about the call volumes. However, in May, we did see an increase overall for 911 calls by 13,000. Fort Worth took 6,000 of those. Arlington has an increase in texting from 130 to 308, and that is due to a gentleman who has been frequently texting 911 to Arlington. So that is a pretty significant jump there than what we normally see. Amber has identified an issue on our team from transfers from Denco, where they hit our selective router and we do not get Allie, so that is a no record found that you'll see on the report. We've had many vendor meets and we're trying to work through that with Denco so that transfers come in appropriately. They're most often going to Fort Worth. And administrative calls increased by about 14,000. So seasonal uptick, but in April it was down, in May it came back up. So any questions on that? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Our training department activities are on page 54 and 55. In fact, they're out at a children's event today. They were here early this morning packing bags. And that's all I have for the monthly statistics. Philip is going to show us a short presentation on indoor mapping discussions. Philip?
Yes. Good morning. Just kind of want to cover this discussion real quick for y'all and make y'all aware kind of what the situation is, what's going on. But basically, the legislature and Texas legislature in 2023 approved House Bill 3 addressing public school safety. And there's a number of different means in that as far as, you know, armed security on site, various trainings, but then producing and providing indoor mapping to DPS and public safety agencies as a whole. It's not very explicit on who gets it, what needs to be done with it, but basically it's going into effect later this year, and the part that really is, you know, drawing our attention is the floor plan information. So we do have private sector companies out there that are garnering it, they're producing it, hopefully validating it. But again, here you can see schools must provide DPS and appropriate local law enforcement agencies and emergency first responders with accurate emergency response maps for each district campus and school building. And again, that's both public schools and charter schools, things like that. So while it is meant to be helpful, there's not a lot of direction on where it needs to go. And as I'll get into on the next slide, there's a difference between dispatch and call take. So with call take, I'm referring to our VestiMap local product, and the two are basically disparate systems. They do coordinate work together, but they do not pass information back and forth across. So essentially, if something comes in on Vesta, it stays in Vesta. CAD will interact with that map very differently, and there's additional information or resources available in CAD as far as ABL or, you know, officer location, fire engine location, all kinds of things. Right. So what we don't want to have happen is something getting lost in between the two. It's, you can't really give a great verbal if it's coming in on the 911 side. In most cases, that call, once it gets passed over, it's passed to CAD, and they're working through a operational picture with the additional resources. So just kind of really want to make that distinction between the two. A lot of times they are paired together publicly, and it's just understanding that those are two very disparate systems. So I'm going to go to the next one, critical success factors. Really, again, the CAD integration, I think, provides a more robust and stable environment for the mapping. It is something, again, with these additional factors, you know, incident management, enhanced situational awareness, bringing all the real-time data, it's just not something that is available in CAD, or I'm sorry, VestiMap local today. So really again, there's a lot of discussion on this, but we're trying to keep the two separate and understood, being aware of a situation versus responding to it, and in those level of details. So they do play a very strong part together and work hand in hand. But so again, Investor 911 excels at our call handling, location notification, but CAD systems provide a robust platform for the mapping and managing those incidents. Kind of not really looking for a decision making on it, but necessarily, but just, you know, really some input thoughts as far as our approach to this. I think it's gonna be better to push, you know, more information into CAD where there's more additional information available with it. On the 911 call take side, I'm just afraid of things getting lost there, trapped, and maybe not pushing through to dispatch the way that it needs to. So
we've been keeping an eye on this for some time. We've been aware of this initiative and waiting to see what school districts are gonna do with this. So Sarah's team and Phillip's team have been kind of tracking this one along with panic buttons, which is another initiative there that we're working on, so we can do to test and help school districts understand what it is that they have been challenged to procure and provide to public safety. So we've met with a couple school districts, we've got some initial information. As you can imagine, because it was a state mandate, they're all doing it a little bit differently, and they don't exactly know the details of what it is that they've got to do. But they do know they've got to provide it to specific agencies designated there. One of the things we've been looking at and trying to understand is certainly some information does come out of 911 VESTA into CAD. However, it is an old school payload, RS-232, and it's very thin, where you essentially have the alley that's going to go over there. Next Gen's talking about this, and Aubrey, if you're at NENA, you should ask about the EIDO and where that's sitting, because that's an interface that's being designed, it has been designed, that's a much richer payload for getting information between CAD recording systems and 911 systems. Nobody's adopting it. So right now, there's not a good methodology for getting that kind of content out of 911 into CAD. There are some solutions. We talked a little bit earlier on this, some of the other things we're looking at regarding the FIFA aspect we're working on that have some possibilities, but it's all kind of out of band of everything that's being in place right now, either with existing CADs or with VESTA. So we're looking at what we can do here. This is just something that we wanted to bring your attention, because it is something that the school districts are now providing. But they're not exactly sure what they're supposed to do with it, other than just say, okay, we gave it to public safety, and we're good. We're reaching out to let you know what we are doing with this. The recommendation right now is at this stage, because these types of things, if it were to be sent into 911, it's going to stay in VESTA. There is no interface to move it from VESTA to CAD or first responders. So it stays in 911, which is why CAD is most likely at this time, until things develop a little bit further, the most likely, the most beneficial solution for indoor mapping solutions. And remember, indoor mapping is a little different than Z. Z is elevation, indoor mapping, they often will kind of put them together because it is advanced location services, but this is definitely a different initiative, and the state of Texas is for some money, which is really great, but to help these potential incidences that do pop up, how can we better manage it?
Do all PSAPs have CAD systems?
My understanding, yes.
Varying flavors, yes. Some are more robust than others. But
okay, the smaller PSAPs, will they have the technical staff to work on this in conjunction with their school districts?
So the smallest CAD solution that I'm aware of out there is probably Crimes. And then they would have to provide the floor plans to Crimes to put that into their CAD.
Okay.
Yeah.
Answer my question.
It seems like it's all on the individual agency, because the school, it doesn't tell you what format to produce a map. They just need to provide it to the department. The department will have to determine how they're going to import it and use that data. I mean, if they put it in, because everybody's CAD's different, and they have a different way of store those files, and you don't know what format you're going to get those files in, so that each...
How frequently are they updated?
Right. Yeah, they won't get updated because during the summer they change, they do construction, and then the plans have changed. So, you know, somebody just has to coordinate from the, each agency to that department, I would think. And plus, there's no funding set up for, I mean, school has their own tax, so I think it would be on that.
And different formatting is one of the issues. Different ways to access it is a different. We've seen some school districts where here's the website that you'll need to hit in order to get this information securely, versus it being something that can be put directly into CAD. So it's a bit of a mixed bag right now, and there's not a mandated methodology for how to do that.
Thank you all for the information.
Absolutely.
Any further questions? All right.
Back to the executive director's report. We do have a new board member, Scott. You want to tell us about yourself a little bit?
I'm an assistant chief in Arlington. I started the fire service in 1994 with Grapevine. Went to Arlington in 1998. And just kind of worked my way up to the ranks. So
we're very glad to have you.
We welcome you.
Thank you.
Very glad to have you.
I got mixed emotions.
Yeah. Ray votes no.
And while it's not on here, all of our board members are current and up to date voting members. Thank y'all. I know it's hard. Thank you very much. We do have some new 911 staff here at Tarrant County. We've got Jessica Garcia. She is our next gen 911 GIS specialist. Jessica, you want to just give us a hello, and who am I?
Sure, I'm Jessica Garcia. I have about 12 years of GIS experience, and about 2021, I started working at Denco 911 for about 3 years. Took a slight 6-7 month break in private sector, but now back in 911 here, and been happy to be here and meet each and every one of you.
Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our little intern could not be here. I'll bring her next month, little Grace Griffith. She is in college at Texas A&M. She's home for the summer. She'll be interning with us this summer, and then she'll go back to school in the fall. And she's majoring in visualization. But her and Kat had to run out for a children's event this morning, so we'll have her come next month. That's all I have, sir.
Any questions? Thank you, ma'am. 911 project update. 12,600 Willow Springs.
Always a fun topic.
And we noticed that we're not there today for this work.
Exactly. We're not there yet. We have hit some complications. Yeah, we are behind a little bit. Some of this had to do with our Encore problems. Those have actually started kind of stabilizing out. The one that really has been delaying us so far, which is supposed to be just a couple of days, turned out to be about 2.5 weeks with Fort Worth inspections. It turns out all the inspections that have been done for the last 6 to 9 months have not actually been filed within the Fort Worth system. So what should have been a real quick and easy updating of some things drug out to about 2.5 weeks. That we're working through. That's all now been taken care of at this stage. The final inspection for the fire aspects that's going to give us a temporary CO though is actually scheduled for this Wednesday. So that's going to allow us to get to the point of really sealing some things up and starting some of the other initiatives. That's very positive. We've also got information from Encore. They're looking this Thursday that we're actually going to be turning up new power to the building. So that's a positive. Between that, the furniture, some additional power rework once that happens, we're looking at probably 3-ish weeks after this week that we're looking at we will be able to actually physically be in the building. The temporary CO gives us the ability to get furniture, items in there, but no humans. We need a full CO for that, and once some of these things in the power get worked out, then we're going to be nailing down a date that will happen. And it's probably going to happen right around our next board meeting, if I had to guess. But we shall see. And we're going to coordinate carefully and make sure nothing gets dropped. But that's the activities going on at Willow Springs right now. Questions? Thoughts?
seems like it's been doing this forever, doesn't it?
Seems like it's been going on forever and ever.
Any questions? Thank you, Kevin.
Certainly.
NextGen 911.
So on May 7th, we successfully passed our lab testing, the milestone for NextGen core services between Motorola and TC901. It tests basic functionality, audio quality, Annie, Allie. On May 12th, our GIS department, thank you, Philip, sent over additional GIS data, and there were no major errors seen. Motorola evaluated that data for quality. And then now we're in the process of looking at the next milestones, OSP ingress and legacy selective router connection build complete. After that, we'll do network failover testing. But what's holding us up a little bit is the hardware refresh. As of May 29th, TC901 once again escalated to Mike Guerrera due to stagnant process and progress on system 4 upgrades. As y'all know, we escalated once before. This should have taken us through system 3 and 4, but when we got to system 4, we lost about 2 or 3 months with just excuses. So after that escalation, we do have a date. Actually, we just cut over Westover Hills last week. We have Pantego, White Settlement scheduled. We have a schedule for the remaining sites completing August 20th. However, they will not commit until about a week prior. So it's kind of last minute. We did let our PSAPs know, with the exception of Arlington. We always do our big sites last. Any lessons learned can be acquired before then, but everyone's been notified. Hopefully those dates don't move. Hopefully we can get those nailed down better than a week prior. So we'll talk more about this in executive session.
Just to clarify, what you're telling me is that the last time we escalated, we were told, the board was told, that this now had the highest level of attention with AT&T. Has it really worked out in our favor?
It has not.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for Sarah? Thank you, ma'am. Next item, purchases over $150,000. ARN 25027 Willow Springs Facility 911 Structured Cabling.
So we're asking for approval. This is a smaller bit, but it has to do with some cabling that we need to have done specifically for some of the 911 nuances that AT&T was not interested in providing. So we're taking a different path here on this one. They are on a cooperative purchasing plan for DNR that will be looking to, you know, leverage here. The amount is for specifically cabling for the regional backup area and for the lab area that's going to be used, so like I said, specifically for 911 cabling, which is a little bit different than administrative cabling. And that's what this represents.
And we've got agreement from them to hold to the pricing that expired on the 20th, June 20th?
That is, they are on board with that. That is correct. This has been a little bit of a going back and forth of trying to get this nailed down with the scope. But yes.
Okay. Any other questions of Kevin? Do I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Motion made by Mayor Richardson. Second.
I'll second.
Second by Chief Hall. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Now I guess we're going into executive session.
Board Resolution A.
Okay. Next is Board Resolution ARN 25028.
Good morning. You have in your package bylaws, they have been revised.
Page 70.
Oh, page 70, sorry about that.
And it's on page 72, the revision.
The bylaws have been revised. If you look at page 2 on the bylaws, section 2.2 under B, it provides that in relation to expenses that will be reimbursed by the district, Those will be expenses as necessarily incurred in relation to educational conferences. We have basically included or added what that includes. And so basically it provides that board members would be limited to one conference requiring an overnight stay per year, which is facilitated by one of the following organizations, which include NENA, APCO, or the Texas Public Safety Association. And also any reimbursements shall be subject to the TC 911 district travel expenses as outlined under our travel expense policy. That is the only, those are the only revisions that were made to the bylaws. So staff is recommending approval of the board laws and of the bylaws of the board members.
And I will share that I request this be put in there because it used to be the policy of Tarrant County 911 back with the second administrator, and somehow over the turnovers, security hadn't been really good about protecting information, so it's disappeared. You can't find it. So we're just putting it back into the policy so you can monitor that. Any questions?
Does that cover, I hate to bring this up, going to a new location. I know I'm going to incur a lot of additional costs getting there.
Meeting expenses.
Would those be covered? Toll roads, fuel, or per mile, I guess?
Well, typically, now I guess this is open for a discussion here, because
the typical travel policy does not reimburse for commuting costs. And so if that's something the board wants to consider, that would require a change to the travel policy.
Okay. Well, I think that's something that the board would like to consider, because historically, board members are employees of an organization that funds their travel. But we happen to have two board members that are retired, so, and we're paying for that gas ourselves. And the policy as written says that it will cover expenses incurred.
In accordance with the travel expense policy. So we need to make sure that that's consistent with the travel expense policy. So if that's something that the board is interested in looking at, then we need to look at the travel expense policy and determine if revisions are necessary for that policy.
Do you need a motion?
So today it would just be approving the board resolution, and then we would need to come back with proposed revisions to the travel expense policy.
You okay with that, Mayor?
Yeah, I mean, I feel I'll be doing a lot more virtual meetings just because that's a hell of a drive for me. And you can't get up 35 one way or another without using the toll road. So, and I don't think it's fair for my city to cover that cost when I'm covering these meetings for the mayor's council. So.
And I would agree with that, because there's often going to be times where we're attending these things because we're part of the board. I don't think that's fair for our cities to cover those expenses either.
Aubrey, are you able to turn on your camera?
Yeah, hang on 1 second. Let me see if it'll work correctly. Can you see me okay?
Yes. So again, we would just need to review that policy and bring that back at your next meeting.
Said I'm good whatever the board wants to do. I know I'm not the only one. This is going to be Irving. I know it's going to be a long drive for you, Scott. I know it's going to be a long drive for you. But I know you're probably in the city vehicle, so.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have that option.
So do you want to approve this one, or just wait and send it back and have it redone and then do it, or?
Well, you recommend approving this one, then just
looking at the other ones.
I have a question for the group before we approve the limitation of conferences, and I would offer this. There are also, just want to understand the spirit of why we want to reduce that down to one. There may be, you know, multiple board members that are maybe asked to present on behalf of the district at these different conferences, or different conferences might offer additional educational opportunities to help with our decision making as a board. So I'd like to hear a little more about the spirit of the motion to reduce that.
And I'll respond to that. The way the policy is written, if a board member is asked to appear to present, then you're representing the district in your official capacity as a board member. And we should cover those, and we should cover those expenses. But historically, we've looked at the NENA, the YAPCO, and the Texas Public Safety Conferences as educational sessions for the board members to get a better understanding of what's actually going on in the 911 environment. So,
and if I can,
well, I'm also wanting to understand, because, you know, as we discussed and we continue to discuss, technology continues to evolve too, and things that are discussed at these different professional conferences evolve as well. So is there a financial restriction, and we're trying to reduce the financial impact of sending board members to these conferences?
No.
If I can add, there is a provision also stated, you know, so let's say you needed to go to another additional conference, more than one, the board member does have the option to bring it before the board and request the ability to be able to do that. It would just have to be approved by the majority voting members on the board.
And this hasn't been an issue in recent years because most of the board members quit going to these conferences. They're too busy.
Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm just curious, you know, and I would encourage the board when they have, you know, flexibility to attend, because especially as we're, you know, navigating and trying to help with good decision and policy as it relates to technology and technology infusion, there are lots of educational opportunities for us to make sure that our knowledge base is sound and really understand what's out there to help, you know, guide the district as we're responsible for doing. So I guess my question just really is, if it's not a problem, why are we limiting it? I understand the need to have maybe something more prescriptive, but is one the right answer is the question that I have.
And the short answer to your question is because that's the way it was always been. And it was part of policy, and for some reason, staff could not put their hands on that policy. So you're right, if the board wants to make it something different, then we vote this one down, let staff come back.
But this was not a staff recommendation, is that correct?
It is a staff recommendation, because they could not provide me a copy of the policy that was put in place by previous executive director, Greg Petrie. So do we have a motion to approve? Any more questions or comments?
Curious the financial impact, I guess, and Neil's not here, to see what the bucket is for that training. How do y'all categorize it? Do y'all lump it in with the rest of training?
We do budget travel for one conference per board member a year.
Does that include my position too?
You're a board member.
I'm going to reply to that one. If you're representing Terry County 911 district, yes.
Yes.
But if you're representing AT&T,
then it's AT&T.
No.
Right. Understood.
There would be much of an impact, because if everybody's budgeting for one, knowing that really no way of going to one, but it's not getting spent, you know, it's already, it wouldn't change that level, you know.
Well, there's something my city does. we allow for each individual to attend one conference, but if somebody's not going to go, this individual wants to go to a second one, they're able to allocate that money. The person's able to give that money to this individual to go to the second conference too. So,
and we have that flexibility.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think I'd be good to expand it like Aubrey said, and because I don't think, you know, overall a lot of us won't be going, and if somebody wanted to go to two, then there's probably that flexibility within the existing budget.
So are we looking at shooting this one down and then tweak it? And
I think we table it.
Table it?
For lack of a motion.
Okay.
And bring it back next month.
And what would you like to see as that goal?
A unanimous vote.
Okay. I think
to me what would be fair, what I think I heard from you, was that if we have a board member that wants to go to more than one conference, instead of having to bring that back to the board for approval, we have a policy that says they can reach out to another board member and say, are you going? If you're not, can I go in your place?
Yeah. And I think it all would fit in the same bucket of money there on the budgeted line item. Like, here's this line item for training for the board, and we just got to keep whatever training everybody agrees to within that.
Would that get into the Open Meetings Act at all?
So long as it's just between two, we're fine.
And I think that worked pretty much flawlessly here, because I know Aubrey wants to go to the APCO conference as well. And
she's representing
and
me.
He's not going, and so right. That way she's able to do both. And if you don't go to the public safety conference in the spring, she may be reaching out and asking if she can have that. I think that's the way it should work out. So it could even be left as this with that understanding, unless you need it really written out.
I would suggest it be written out.
Okay.
If you already have language in here that says unless otherwise approved, and we could just add, you know, another provision to that. But I would suggest making it clear in your bylaws what is and is not permitted.
How does that sound, Aubrey?
Aubrey, can
you ask? I'm sorry, my video keeps cutting out. Hang on 1 second.
There you go.
Okay, sorry, I'm going to get a really bad angle, but I think it'll work now. I think that's fair. I don't want to limit any of our board members, or have to keep coming back to the board should it be that, you know, somebody on the board wants to attend multiples. I think that's, as long as there's an agreement and the executive director or her appointee is okay with that and the funding is available, that we should try to make opportunities for our board members to attend. And sometimes that's going to be more than one, depending on the topics that, you know, we need education in.
And I encourage you all to go. I do.
Yes.
It's very informative.
Can we also look then, maybe if we're talking specifically about board members being asked to attend to conduct business for Tarrant County, like representing Tarrant County, as we discussed, that language is clear. And maybe I just overlooked it, but essentially that those costs would be covered. So if a board member is asked to go speak as a representative of the board, it is not counted in that one, maybe two, if approved.
I'm okay with that. Because that's just codifying an unwritten expectation now.
Right. Which is what we're doing with the training requirements or the limitations of training.
Do you have what you think you need?
I believe I do. So I will...
We look forward to seeing you again in July.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, we will now adjourn into executive session.
Harvey, do you want to hop on to the executive session link that I sent over?
I will.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll jump on. Thank you.
Recording stopped.
Pursuant to chat, do I need to wait for that?
Yes, you can go ahead and say the time.
Okay, at 10:55, pursuant to Chapter 551, Texas Government Code, the district reserves the right to convene an executive session from time to time as deemed necessary during this meeting regarding Sections 551.071, consultation with attorney, Section 418.183F, Texas Disaster Act, and number 3, VESTA upgrade. We're now, it's now 11:21, calling the Tarrant County 911 District Board of Managers back into session. Seeing no action items necessary out of our executive session, do we have any public comments? Seeing none, this meeting is adjourned. At 11:21. That's pretty good. I opened it and closed it at the same time.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Aubrey. Have a great time at the conference.
Party on.
We've got our